Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us as we gather here on this Lord's Day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please always take the time to read your bulletin and also to go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. And just a reminder that we are here on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bible study. It's a wonderful opportunity both to study God's Word and also to fellowship with each other and to lift each other up in prayer. So we invite you to come out and be with us on Wednesday mornings for all who can at 11 a.m. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah. We'll be reading from the first chapter of Jeremiah, beginning at verse 4 and reading through verse 10. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke's gospel, as we've been reading. We'll be reading from the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 10 and reading through verse 17. So again, friends, let us listen to God's word for us. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, became indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. It's the word of the Lord. Maybe it's because I'm a pastor, but I've always felt a little bad for the synagogue leader in our text this morning. Synagogue leaders and Pharisees and the like, they always come off as the heavies. They always come off as being a little cold, a little cruel, a little uncaring. And that's unfortunate because I'm sure they're probably nice people. I'm sure they were decent people, good people, even caring people. It's just that they were concerned about the rules. They like to do things by the book, and I can appreciate that. That's the way I am. I like rules. I like to do things by the book. It's always easier that way. If someone comes up to you later and protest about something, you can always say, I was just following the rules. I was just going by the book. That's why I like being a Presbyterian, because we have rules, we have procedures, we have protocols, we have the book of order, we have everything that helps us to do things decently and in order, and that's what the synagogue leader wants this morning. He just wants things to be done decently and in order. He just wants to follow the rules. The problem is this morning is that Jesus doesn't appear to be a stickler when it comes to the rules. It's the Sabbath, it's the day of rest, and Jesus, as was his custom, is teaching in the synagogue. The synagogue was probably filled to capacity that day because it was the only game in town. There was nothing else to do but go to the synagogue, nothing else to do but to worship and to praise God on the Sabbath. I was talking to some older people not long ago, and they were telling me that when they were young, when they were growing up, everyone went to church on Sunday because the church was the only game in town. Everything else was closed, they said. There were no movies, no restaurants, no stores, no sporting events. Everything was closed, and so everyone went to church and spent all day in church. And that was probably the case here too on the Sabbath as Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. I wish we knew what Jesus was preaching on, wish we knew what text he was preaching on. We're not told that, but I suspect it was probably the same passage that he used during his first sermon in Luke's gospel when he was once again in the synagogue. He was in his hometown, the synagogue in his hometown, and that particular day he chose the prophet Isaiah, the part where the prophet Isaiah says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to bring good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty and release to the captives and the prisoners. That's what Jesus came to do, of course. He came to loose and to liberate and to set people free. And I can just imagine Jesus standing at the front of the synagogue, scanning the faces of the people assembled, trying to ascertain what's going on in their lives. They'd gotten up early in the morning to be there in worship. They were all there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But Jesus knows that many of them are burdened and weighed down by all kinds of things that are going on in their lives. And that's when he sees her. That's when Jesus sees this woman who's sort of hard to see because she's doubled over, bent over. Indeed, the text says that she was unable to stand up straight because she had a spirit that crippled her. You ever had a spirit that crippled you? A spirit that bent you over? A spirit that wouldn't allow you to get your life straightened out? There are a lot of spirits out there, of course, that can do that to you. Shame can do that to you. Guilt can do that to you. They can weigh you down. They can double you over. Family conflict can do that to you. We all know people are weighted down by the burden of family conflict and strife. Poverty can do that to you. Sometimes I don't think we fully appreciate the cost and the burdens of being poor in our society. It can be oftentimes a great big burden trying to scrape up enough resources to be able to take care of your family and meet the various obligations. There's a huge cost sometimes of being poor in our society. Racism can do that to you. Sexism can do that to you. They are all forces and powers, spiritual forces and powers that can double you over, bend you over, cripple you. In Jesus' day, one of the burdens that was crushing for a lot of people was debt. They had the same problem in Jesus' day that we have in ours. More and more of the wealth and resources were concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, and the vast majority of people, just in order to stay afloat, found themselves weighed down more and more in debt. That's why one of the things that Jesus told us to pray for when he gave us his prayer was to pray for the forgiveness of our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And Jesus wasn't just talking about individual sins, and he wasn't just talking about moral infractions, but he was talking about real debt, debt that crushed people and sucked the life out of them. But this woman is burdened. She's doubled over. And we don't know what kind of spirit it was that was crippling this woman. But whatever it was a powerful spirit, because it bowled her over for over 18 years. For over 18 years she had been doubled over. For over 18 years she was unable to stand up straight. For 18 years she was unable to look anyone in the eye. Can imagine, this woman probably came to the synagogue week after week after week, but no one really saw her. Everyone just kind of overlooked her. Everyone just saw her as being that old bent over woman. But this morning Jesus sees her. It's interesting that the woman never asked Jesus to heal her. She doesn't go up to him and say, "Rabbi, please heal me of my ailment." She doesn't do that. She doesn't sneak up to him and say, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed." She doesn't do any of that. Maybe it's because it's the Sabbath and she knows the rules. No healing on the Sabbath. Or maybe she doesn't even expect to be healed. Or maybe she doesn't even want to be healed. Maybe she doesn't want her life straightened out. There are lots of people like that. They don't want to be straightened out. They want to be bent over. They want to be crippled in spirit. C.S. Lewis, in his wonderful little book, The Great Divorce, writes about a busload of people from hell who takes a vacation to heaven. And while in heaven, they see all kinds of wonderful things. They see golden streets. They see mansions. They see people arrayed in splendor and radiant. All kinds of wonderful and glorious things. And then at the end of their trip, they're given a choice. They can stay in heaven or they can go back to hell. And they all choose to go back to hell. The only problem is that in order to get back to hell, they have to find this little bitty crack. Little bitty crack about that big in a big open field. And in order to get back to hell, they have to be crushed and compacted and bent over in order to get back to hell, because that's what hell is. It's about nothingness. It's about being diminished. It's about being oppressed. It's about being crushed. And some people have been crushed so long, some people have been oppressed so long, some people have been diminished so long by all kind of things that they just have kind of gotten used to it. They don't know how to live any other way. And so we can understand, after 18 years of being bent down, after 18 years of looking down at the ground, after 18 years of seeing nothing only but your feet and the dust, that maybe this woman had just gotten used to it. But Jesus sees her, and it is Jesus who calls out to this woman. "Woman, you are free. You are rid of your ailments. You are are free to stand up straight. You are free, Jesus tells her. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set people free. He came to loose. He came to liberate. He came to rid us of our burdens. You would think that would be the occasion for praising God, for everyone praising God, for everyone saying hallelujah, including the synagogue leader. You would think the synagogue leader, being a religious leader, you would think that he would say, praise God, hallelujah. This woman who's been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, she's finally got her life straightened out. Praise God. But that's not what he does, or that's not what he says. Instead, the synagogue leader is incensed. We're told that he's angry. He's mad at Jesus because Jesus broke the rules. You broke the rules. You broke the commandment. You broke one of the commandments that God self gave us. It says right here, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Jesus, you had 6 days in which you could have healed this woman. You could have waited to tomorrow at 8 o'clock a.m. You could have gotten here fresh in the morning if you wanted to heal this woman. But you chose this one day that is set aside as a day of rest. You have chosen this day that is supposed to be holy to heal this woman. Again, let me say that I have some sympathy and understanding for the synagogue leader. Sometimes I get jealous of Sunday. Sometimes I say, people had all day to do anything that they're doing today. They had all day to do it. This is the day for worship. This is the day that God has given us to praise. This is the day that God has given us to be here to worship. Should take priority over everything else. But I can sympathize with the synagogue leader. Rules are important, and again, I like rules. The problem with rules, though, including the rules that are given to us by God, is that they often become weaponized by people who are often more interested in power and control than they are about the well-being of real flesh and blood human beings. And I suspect that's the problem with the synagogue leader. He's more into power and control than he cares about people. You know, churches often have rules and standards. Many years ago, I used to attend a church that had an unspoken rule. The rule was that everyone had to be dressed up when they came to worship on Sundays. All the men had to wear nice suits and ties, and all the women had to wear dresses. No pants, but dresses. And hats, it seemed. And I kind of liked that rule because I thought it showed a proper respect for the Lord's Day. People ought to get dressed up. But the problem was that the rule was a bit of a burden for people who couldn't afford it. And since the church was located in an economically challenged neighborhood, the unspoken communication to the surrounding community was, you're not welcome here if you can't wear nice clothes every Sunday. When I used to live in Atlanta, there was a number of laws that were passed, laws that made it a crime to gather in public places after dark. You couldn't sit on a public bench downtown after dark, and you couldn't sleep on benches after dark. And they were laws that were basically designed to target people who were homeless, because homeless people are often easy scapegoats in our society. So they were designed to harass and burden people who were homeless. There's no real concern for homeless people. If you really were concerned about the state of homelessness and homeless people, you would think that people would get together and say, how can we build more housing for people who are homeless? How can we build more agencies and support agencies for people who are homeless? If you're really concerned about homeless people, there are lots of things you can do, but it was more convenient and it was easier to pass laws. Laws designed to burden and oppress people who were homeless. Jesus, of course, isn't interested in the letter of the law, but he is interested in the substance of the law. Jesus didn't come to break the law, but he came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill what the law was all about. And the law, including the Sabbath law for Jesus, was always about freedom. It was always about liberation. It was always about setting people free. That's what Deuteronomy says, and it's a listing of the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy because you were once slaves. Remember the Sabbath because you were once slaves in Egypt. You were once slaves that had to work 24/7. You were once slaves where you didn't get any rest. You didn't get an opportunity to have a day off. You had to work 24/7. So remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It was about freedom. It was about unburdening. It was about lifting the weight of the burden of labor. And of course, the Sabbath in the Hebrew tradition was not just about one day of the week. It was also a Sabbath of years. Every seventh year, there was a Sabbath. A Sabbath year, and people were to let their fields grow fallow. They were called not to plant anything or have their workers to plant anything. Everything had the year off. The land had the year off. Workers had the year off. Livestock had the year off. And the produce of the land was to grow without any cultivation. And it was to be an opportunity for the poor to come and to avail themselves of the produce of the land. And not only that, all debts were to be forgiven. It's kind of the basis for our chapter bankruptcy laws. But it was about freedom. It was about liberation. It was about release. It was about forgiveness. And of course, every seventh Sabbath year, there was a jubilee. A great jubilee. Some people called it the acceptable year of the Lord. But it was about freedom. It was about people being set free. It was about land that had been accumulated going back to its original owners. It was about people who were in prison because they couldn't pay their debts being released and let go. It was about freedom. And that's the way that Jesus interprets this Sabbath law. He interprets it as a time for freedom. What better way of remembering the Sabbath than setting this woman free? What better way of keeping the Sabbath holy than releasing this woman from the burdens that weighs her down? The story this morning gives us two pictures of God. What kind of God is God? Is God a great big tyrant in the sky? A great big tyrant in the sky looking down, giving us rules and laws and looking at us, wanting to make sure we keep the rules and laws, ready to get us if we break one of the rules and laws? Is that the kind of God that God is? And if God is a great big tyrant in the sky, a great big ruler that keeps the rules, then are we to be that kind of people too. People were concerned about the rules. People were always ready and willing to list the rules on our walls and always on the lookout for people who are breaking the rules. Or is God a God of grace and love and forgiveness? A God who's come to rescue us and release us and set us free from all kinds of burdens, including the burdens that we like to impose on each other. Jesus didn't come to break the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus is the freedom that God has sent to us. He has sent us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we might be free. We need to be reminded, of course, that the freedom that Jesus comes to bring is not a freedom for us to do anything we want. That's the way some people think about freedom. Freedom is about doing whatever we want. But the freedom that Jesus comes to bring us is not a freedom to do anything we want, but it's a freedom to become something. It's a freedom to become the human beings that God created us to be. It's the freedom to be human beings made in the image of God. It's the freedom to be people who are more and more in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's the freedom to be God's people. And that's what I like about this story, about this woman that Jesus unburdens. She's originally started out being called just a woman. Just a woman. Maybe some people even called her the old broken down woman, the old bent over woman, the woman who's burdened. But by the end of it, Jesus gives her a new identity. She's called a daughter of Abraham. And that's who you and I are as well. We are people who belong to someone. We are sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of God. We belong to someone. We no longer belong to the world with all of its burdens. But we've been set free. We've been set free to love God and set free to love each other and to be the people of love that God has called us to be. And so that's Jesus' message to all of us this morning. Whatever is burdening you, whatever is weighing you down, whatever is oppressing you, whatever is crushing you, Jesus wants you to hear the stunning good news this morning. You are free. You've been set free. You're free because Jesus has given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us here this morning as people who are no longer slaves to the forces and powers of the world. We are here this morning because we are no longer bounded by the chains of the things that crush people and weigh them down. You've come to unburden us. You've come to take away our chains. You've come to set us free from all the things that oppress us, You've come to make us new creation people. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us not to sell ourselves back into slavery again. Help us not to become burdened by the cares and the concerns of the world, but help us to live as the free people that you have called all of us to be. Help us to move towards the freedom of your coming future, your coming promised land. That promised future where your love and grace and mercy is all in all. Where the whole world rejoices because it too has been set free from the travails of sin and all that weighs it down. Help us to live our lives as sons and daughters of you, who have given us life in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.